You need to bring your vision to life. It's your vision. It's your business. Consultants are there to help you. The team, the project team's there to help you, but your vision has to be brought to life. And with these first two transformations, they had no idea. So they were outsourcing sponsorship to somebody outside of their company. And it's a recipe for disasters.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm, Elevate IQ. Balancing your day job and executing a transformation project in parallel could be frustrating. Your team might look up to you to make the most crucial decisions when you might not fully understand the implications of those decisions. To avoid this uncomfortable situation, you might want to outsource your role as a sponsor to a third party. But this approach typically fires back as they may create their version of your vision. Additionally, they might not fully understand your business as they may not be living it. In today's episode, we have our guest, Tim Morton, who describes the role of sponsors in a digital transformation project and why it's crucial. He also discusses the implications of outsourcing it to a third party, such as a system integrator, and how sponsors can deal with situations when they might not have experience executing digital transformation projects. Finally, he describes several change management terms and how data can help with alignment among teams. Let me introduce Tim to you. Tim Morton has been leading change management on IT business transformations, including ERPs, CRMs, and digital transformations for the last 28 years. To date, he has supported over 30 organizations to thrive through business transition, including having enabled M&A integrations valued at $32 billion in aggregate. Tim founded Prompta, which is the first globally certified diverse change management consulting firm by the CGLCC and NGLCC, and Canada's 2018 LGBT Plus Business Enterprise of the Year. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Sam. It's great to be here.
And I am super excited to have you here as well, just because the kind of background that you bring. You have done tons of work primarily in the ERP space, followed by a lot of work in the change management. And that's going to be a very unique combination. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of stories around change management that you can share with our audience. Just to kick things off, Tim, do you want to start with your personal story and your current focus?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Sam. I'm really excited to be here. And my, my story is one of a lifetime of working on change and ERP. And I actually got my career started working on an SAP implementation far too many years ago. It was a 3OF implementation that went really off the rails. And yeah, one of the reasons was change wasn't a big focus. Yeah. And for me, from that point, my thought was it doesn't have to be like this. So for me, it was really important that let's put in some change, some proper change management. So I've worked with, worked with companies around the world, including consulting companies, to roll out their methodologies. And yeah, I've spent my entire life just making sure that the business owns the solution, that there's a good structured change process, and that those business benefits are brought to life. And then just from a current focus for me, it's really been about how do we use better data? How do we use better data to drive better insights to make sure that the change we're putting in place sticks?
Yeah, amazing background there. And I am definitely not new
to ERP implementations going off the rails. That's definitely not news for me. That's my life. Okay. So I think we are going to have some interesting stories here. Okay. So we will be digging into a lot of, what you mentioned. But before we do that, we have one of these standard questions that we ask every single guest that come on the show. And that is going to be your perspective on business growth, Tim.
Oh, my goodness. My perspective on business growth is really having a focus, making sure that you look at technology as an enabler, but it's just an enabler. And it's so vitally important that technology gets adopted. So for me, from a growth perspective, it's great to use great tools and latest innovation, but you got to make sure it gets adopted and it gets used appropriately. Otherwise, from a growth perspective, you're not going to get the most out of what you're actually putting into it or what's available for you.
Yeah. So some very interesting insights there. And again, this is very common that, technology is probably going to be oversold, I guess, in the organization. And if it is not adopted well, then obviously business is not going to get benefits. So adoption is definitely key. So now from your background, you did mention that you had tons of stories overall when it comes to the sponsorship, when it comes to adoption of these technologies. So do you want to share one of those stories?
Oh, indeed. And this is one of the biggest, the biggest occurrences in my career. And one of the things that I'd been doing was I'd been leading my team supporting a Fortune 50 company through some transformations within both North America and Europe. And at the same time as I was doing this, in Australia, they had two colossal failures.
Okay.
Both of these failures made the national newspapers.
Yeah.
And both of these failures, they actually chose to sue the consulting company that was supporting them. And they won. But the damage was done to the business. And the business really suffered. And they went from being top in the country within their category to be number four. And so even though they were winning these lawsuits, it just wasn't appropriate. And what had happened was they were getting ready to launch another transformation. It was a Salesforce automation transformation using, the latest best of breed ERP solution. And the global CIO said, Tim, they don't know how to manage projects.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was more than that. There's great project managers everywhere. What that business didn't know what to do was they didn't know that leaders had a role as sponsors. They didn't know that they needed to lead the change. They didn't know that they just didn't know that it was their responsibility to bring their vision to life. What had been happening with those other two implementations were they were told by the consulting company, hey, don't worry, we got you covered. And if anyone ever tells you as a leader, hey, we got this covered, you don't have to do anything, that's a red flag, because you own your business. You need to bring your vision to life. It's your vision. It's your business. Consultants are there to help you. The team, the project team's there to help you, but your vision has to be brought to life. And with these first two transformations, they had no idea. So they were outsourcing sponsorship to somebody outside of their company. And it's a recipe for disaster. So one of the things that we did was we brought the project team together at the start of this third transformation. And we said to them, we actually said, hey, what does success look like? Why are we doing this? And one of the things that we saw was no one on the project team knew what was signed off by leadership within the project charter.
Okay.
So if you just think about that, you've got your internal project manager, the external project manager, the whole project team, and nobody knows what's been signed off. And when you really think about what's going to be built, if they don't know what your vision is, if they don't know what you've signed off on, you're not going to get what you want. You're going to get something else. And so one of the things that we did with that entire leadership team was we spent a full day talking to them about their role as sponsors, their role in leading their business forward, their role in making sure that their vision came to life. And we had an incredible session where they really realized, hey, you know what? This is our role. We have to make sure it's one of the top three priorities. And one of the things we were able to do with them through that, they stepped up and that project came in under budget 18%. And it came in 18% because the business was re-engaged because they saw their leaders were re-engaged. And that's the key to sponsorship. Sponsorship says, hey, I'm visible, I'm accountable, my vision matters. I'm going to make decisions on the fly as needed to keep a project moving forward, and I'm going to stick to that vision.
Okay, great story. And I love these stories because, most people just pay attention to the biggest failures, and they very rarely pay attention to the 95% of these stories that are happening in the market. So what I am really interested in when it comes to these stories is what really happened there. Okay, so in this particular case, if I dig into the story, so obviously the sponsorship was a gap. So number one, I am not even sure if my listeners are going to be familiar with what a real sponsorship is. So can you describe the roles and responsibilities of a sponsor first, and what it means to outsource that sponsorship? What are going to be the implications, let's say, if somebody decides to outsource the sponsorship?
Yeah, indeed. And one of the first place I'll start is that we often assume that leaders know what it means to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
And that's just not always the case. Sometimes somebody has gone up through the ranks, being a business development person to a manager to director, and suddenly they're the SVP of sales, or they're the CFO. And if nobody's ever talked to them about what it means to be a sponsor, there's going to be a gap. They're not going to know necessarily how to support their people through change and disruption. So for me, if I think about a sponsor is a person who signs off on a charter. A sponsor is the leader that's responsible for ensuring that this program or transformation gets implemented to the vision that was signed off on. And, some of the key roles of that sponsor, they include making sure that your vision is brought to life. So what I mean by that is a business will have, they'll have a mandate. They'll know where they want to go. They'll have an idea of how to get there. They often bring on a system integrator or several system integrators, but it's really important that through the course of a transformation, that a sponsor is active, they're visible, they're consistent, and the business and everybody involved, every stakeholder knows the goals of the project. So you'd mentioned about the idea of outsourcing your role as sponsor.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we've seen, and we've seen it with various organizations where they say, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for this. And so sometimes what happens within organizations is they'll delegate this role down to somebody that's, two or three levels below them, which they may not have the credibility or the authority to move this forward as it needs to through a transformation. The other thing that we've seen is sometimes what happens is you bring on a system integrator, and the partner from the system integrator says, hey, don't worry, I got you covered. I got your back. You don't have to spend any time dealing with this. I'm going to take the lead on this.
Yeah.
And what happens there is that partner from the SI, they're actually going to build their version of that vision. They might have really good intentions, but they don't actually work for the business. They don't have to live with the business. They don't know the culture as well. They don't know the ways of working. They are not going to be the person who motivates and creates enthusiasm about the project. So it's so important for leaders, if they're responsible for a program, that they understand that they have a role as a sponsor. They have to be credible, they have to be visible, and they have to show the way for their organization and the project team in order to bring that vision to life.
Okay, so let's take a scenario here. So let's say if I'm the executive, okay, I'm probably the financial executive, and somebody asked me to be the sponsor. Now, in my experience, I have never done this project before. I have no idea how to execute these IT projects. I am trying to bring some change. Obviously, I've got budget, you know, I'm signing the check, but I don't know how to go from point A to point B. Somebody is asking me, this is your project charter. I'm signing on that. You are asking me, okay, you be credible, you be visible, and you also be accountable. I am asked to be accountable for something that I don't understand.
It's not fair. And it's really, you know, it's just not fair, but it's so important. And this is one of the things from a change management perspective that we always, you know, we always kick off with an understanding of roles, responsibilities, and accountabilities. And it's so important, just like if we're going to have a change network within an organization and we say, oh, you know what, you're a subject matter expert, or you're a change champion, or you're a specific subject matter area or business analyst, that there's a role and responsibility and accountability. There also needs to be that for sponsors. And, you know, some of the key things that we ask, you know, that we ask sponsors to do, and what good sponsorship looks like, is, you know, that ability to support the team, to make sure that your role as a sponsor is making sure that you attend steering committee meetings, that you don't, you know, that you don't call it in, that you're actually reading the deck, that you're involved, that you are making, you're making choices, and you're solving problems that are put in front of you, so that you're not holding the project back, but you're making sure that you get informed information so that you can make timely decisions. You're also supporting the team, the project team. You're making sure that they're well-resourced, that they've got good people, that they've got people that are available from the business that can provide insights about the current state and the future state. It's also important as that sponsor to be able to set clear expectations and clear objectives and revisit them as needed. The other thing that a really good sponsor does is they focus the team on what is needed, not the nice to haves, because we know in so many of these digital transformations and ERPs, quite often the team will lose focus on the big picture, and they'll go and they'll decide, hey, we've got to solve this problem. And that problem may not be part of scope. And sometimes if they go deep, they may lose 6 or 8 weeks. So it's really important to focus on what is it that's in the charter? What does success look like? What are we trying to build? And focus on those need to have. Some of the other things that we see, it's really important as well that these leaders remember that it's not an IT program or an IT project. It's a business project with an IT enabler. And that's a different way to look at it, because we want to make sure that when we're sponsoring and we're leading as a sponsor, that the business is involved and engaged, and it's not something that's being done to the business. They're actively involved. And one of the other things we see is when they have their vision and when they're putting something new in that's coming, there's going to be a lot of resistance from the business, and they need to be able to share an effective elevator speech, one that says, hey, here's why we're doing this. Here's what it means. Here's why it's important. And here's what we're going to be able to do when this is all over. And I need your support. And let's do this together.
So I am actually going to give you another scenario based on what you described so far, right? So it's going to be, let's say you are a leader. You obviously have a vision. You are trying to communicate that to everybody, and you sort of know the business goals. But my engineering team, or the team that is focused on solving daily problems, obviously they are going to be worried about those tasks. And as you know, they are not as good at communicating things, right? They don't know how to translate that daily task, and that could probably have significant implication overall on the goals and on the project goals, but they simply don't know how to translate that. Now, my executive is trying to do the speech for the vision. My this person who's going to be super critical for the project, this person is actually trying to fix that, you know, whatever they are trying to fix, right? And that could have major implication overall on the project. So basically, the scenario that I'm trying to describe is there is no connection here because the sponsor does not truly understand what really goes in bringing a project from point A to point B. So what can executives do to make sure they are able to connect and relate with their teams?
Yeah. So one of the key things is to invest in change.
Okay.
And, you know, to make sure that that there's change management as part of the process. Because if you've got change support, one of the things that's going to happen is the journey that this project is taking, you know, it's just not going to look at the technical things. It's going to look at the people things. It's going to look at the process, and it's going to involve people from across the organization. And one of the things that we see when we leverage change management, we're going to have an ongoing communication plan that's part of the journey. We're going to have ongoing engagement and awareness. We're going to actually create a sponsorship roadmap for sponsors so that they can share, you know, share updates and share the vision at different points. So it's really important when we think about these projects and we're thinking about the technology and how the technology is going to fit in, we really need to be able to map out what are those impacts? What's going to change and what's the impact and who's going to do what? And so many of these transformations fail because they forget to think about the culture. They forget to think about how ways of working are going to change, how roles, responsibilities, accountabilities. They forget what are those gaps between what the current state is and what the future state is. And what are we going to do about those gaps? So it's really important that there's a cohesive plan. And it really is looking at it and change as a journey. And sponsorship is a journey. We don't complete it with a single event. We build with consistent themes and messages over the course of the program. We involve the business. We make sure that their concerns are identified. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is make sure as well that we're using data effectively to understand what all of those stakeholders need. So for example, you were mentioning about, you know, this person who's got a technical role, who's concerned about some things and still has their day job to do. It's so important too, that we understand what their concerns, what their needs, their wants, what are the things that are going to be important for them before we transition towards go live. So for us, it's really important to understand the sentiment of employees and then create tactics so that we can address that. And we can make sure along the course of the change journey that they've got everything they need so that when we get towards go live, you know, they're on board, they're ready to adopt the change. They're engaged, they're involved, they know why this is happening, they know what it's going to mean to them, they know where to get support, and they're feeling like they're part of the solution. And they've been on this journey, they've been giving feedback, and that feedback's been addressed.
Okay, so since you mentioned the change management, I will give you a real life scenario of the change, and then probably you can tell me a story around that as well. So
sure.
I was talking to one of the manufacturing executives yesterday, and manufacturers, I don't know how much experience you have in the manufacturing environment, but typically they are most concerned about the products, right? Because products is the lifeblood of the business. They are not necessarily as concerned about the processes, especially in the SMB space. And that is given because that's their daily life. That's what, feed their families. That's what pay their bills. So that's what they are worried about. Now, when it comes to this whole ERP, change management, when they look at this, for them, it almost feels like a new language. Okay?
Yeah.
So when they hear terms like change management, sponsorship roadmap, for them, it's a change. So right now, I'm not even sure if they are going to be able to follow what you are trying to describe. So can you describe a story, what change management really is, what sponsorship roadmap really is for my manufacturers who are trying to run their operations? They might have some dreams and goals, but they don't know how to go from point A to point B.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's such a good point, because you know we use language that for a lot of people would be very foreign, and yeah, we've done a lot of work with manufacturing organizations, and you know one of the biggest things when we're trying to educate leaders, especially in industries like manufacturing, where they haven't experienced change before, one of the things that I like to tell them, and it's a story which you know everybody can relate to, and yeah. I think about change management as, let's say you've just decided that you're going to move, and you're going to move 2 months today, so you've either bought a place or you've signed a lease. So in 2 months you're moving. So and imagine that 2 months from now you've done nothing other than you've done nothing, and the day of the move arrives. How well is that going to go? It's going to be a disaster, because you didn't pack up boxes. You didn't turn your hydro on. You didn't get hydro there. You didn't hire movers. You didn't make sure that the day of the move was seamless. You didn't make sure that, you know, everything moved like clockwork, because you're on a deadline. It's got to happen. Yeah. And that's how we look at change. If we're putting in a new system, it's not just, oh, okay, well, you know, I put in a new system and suddenly on August 1st, we're using a new system. Yeah. There's so many things that have to happen. We need to figure out today, hey, today we do it this way, and tomorrow we're going to do it this way. How do we make sure that each person knows what their role is, knows how to get support? Because even in a manufacturing environment, we've got to make sure that we can still manufacture. And yeah. we can't let not being ready for a change stop us in our tracks. So part of what we do, just like you would plan out a move, we plan out all of the things that need to happen so everybody's ready, and that the day that we turn on this new software, it's a non-event. And that's so essential. And we can make it a non-event if we've really looked at everything that's going to change, we understand how to deal with it, and we've prepared our people. We've prepared our people, and they know what the process is, and they know what the handoffs are, and they know what the triggers are. We're going to have a great success. But without that, we're going to have the same level of chaos you would if you had to move and hadn't done anything.
Okay, so I am going to give you another scenario here. And the scenario is going to be where I'm the sponsor. I have a vision. I have a dream. I want to make change in my organization. I understand conceptually the way you described that if I am trying to move from my point A to point B, I got to pack my boxes. I got to arrange the call with the mover so that it's all coordinated and timely. I get it. I get from the concept perspective. Now, let's say if I'm the sponsor of this ERP project, I have tried to communicate to my team. My team is not really listening to me. Half of them, let's say, are on board with the change, and half of them are not really listening to me. Okay. So I am the sponsor. Now I need to go with the project. So translate to me in this specific story, what is going to be the packing of the boxes for me in the scenario? What is going to be scheduling the call for me in the scenario? What am I doing to make sure my team has bought the change, and then I have the concrete plan so that I can go from point A to point B without having any disruption in my business?
That's a great one. So one of the things that as a leader, you need to make sure that everyone knows your elevator speech. And your elevator speech says, we're doing this. This is real. It's going to happen. I need to get you on board. Here's why this is important. Here's what it means to our organization. Here's the risk if we don't do it. And it's got to be, you know, it's got to be consistent. It's got to, you know, it's got to be tied to business reasons. And it's got to incorporate key themes and key messages about the project. And, you know, that's a big part of it. You know, there's other things, there's other things that are really important to think about as well. And one of them is, if you build it, they may not come. And what that means is, if you haven't involved people, and if you're not effectively communicating, and if you're not training people effectively, and if you're not getting them involved and on board, they just may not, they may not adopt, they may not engage. So part of this is, you've got to make sure that when you think about being a sponsor, it's not enough just to say one time in front of the team, hey, we're going to do this. No, it's got to be an ongoing drumbeat that says, hey, we're part of the journey and this change is going to happen and there's a big risk and I'm with you. We're in this together. I need your support. Here's what I need you to do. You're going to hear more about this. And together, we're going to make this change happen. It's paramount to our organization. And that's a big part of it is really, as a leader, you need to be consistent in your messaging. You need to remember that, oh, just because I told somebody this once, that's not enough. It has to be ongoing and ongoing support.
So I like the idea about elevator pitch. Now, I will tell you some of my fears in the same scenario. Okay. So here, yeah, in my case, I am working in the manufacturing organization, as I said, and yeah, I am trying to bring this change. I have my team that is completely divided. Half of the team wants change, half of the team does not want change. Now, yeah, the challenge I run into is, and I don't know if you are completely familiar with the manufacturing situation right now, the biggest problem manufacturing faces is going to be the talent yeah, that manufacturers need on the shop floor. And that is going to be the key machinist. And because of that, the manufacturers are losing business at this point of time. So yeah, Here's what's going to happen when I have my elevator pitch. If I say that, you know what, this is my dream, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to make this change. And then half of the people are going to say, you know what, good luck, because I have a job and I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm done. So, okay. Yeah. So if I do my elevator pitch, obviously this is going to be the response from the team. I know this for a fact. And what I'm going to do as an executive or a sponsor, I'm going to be quiet. So what would you do, yeah, in this scenario if you were managing the change here?
You know what? I do have a lot of experience in manufacturing, and a lot of our clients have been in that space. And yeah, one of the key things that we know is that if you actually engage people, and if, yeah, you involve them, and if you create a vision, and if you share with them, and if you tell them how things are going to be different, and if you keep your commitments and you're authentic, people are going to come on board. It's a lot like we see with mergers and acquisitions, because people, quite often people will think in those cases too, oh, you know what, people are just going to leave right away. That, you know what, if they have an opportunity, they don't like uncertainty. Part of what we need to do when we're leading change, ERPs and transformations bring uncertainty. But our job as leaders is to make sure that we eliminate some of that confusion and that frustration. We show, as leaders and sponsors that, hey, there's a real path here. We know what we're doing. We've brought in great people. Here's how we're going to make sure that you're involved and you're engaged. We want you part of the process. We want to hear your voice. We want you involved. And what we know when we do that is that people will actually stay. They'll stay engaged. They'll stay involved because they're part of something. And quite often people will want to see how this turns out. And they want to be part of something that's going to be a winning solution. And it's not about just being enthusiastic for the point of being enthusiastic. It's being enthusiastic because you've got a really well laid out plan, both from a technology, but also from a people readiness perspective. You've got a great, you've got a great plan of action, and you know what you're doing, and you know how to execute. And that's part of that is involving great people who know how to do this on your team, and using good data in order to make sure that when you ask your people for feedback about what they're concerned or, what's going to cause this to be successful, that you actually listen to them, and you listen to them in a timely way, and you get back to them with that feedback.
Yeah, so can you talk about some of these stories related to data? So obviously you have a lot of experience with data, right? Data, using data as the advantage for the whole process of change management. The more data that you present, the better probably the communication is going to be. So do you have any specific stories that you might be able to share? What kind of KPIs were really relevant in this specific story? And how data really helped with communication, with collaboration, with winning the confidence with the team?
Oh gosh, yeah. And this is an area that I am just so passionate about. And part of the reason I'm passionate about it is because what I saw with change management over the last, well, let's just say a couple of decades, we'll leave it at that, is that a lot of change managers and change consultancies are using really dated templates and tools. They're using a tick the box approach. They're doing simple surveys that ask, oh, tell me on a 1 to 5, or tell me, you know, it's just, which is great, but it doesn't give a lot of good information and a lot of insights. And what we're seeing is that data is used effectively across organizations. And there's great insights out there, but from a change perspective, that hasn't been the case. I think change managers sometimes are the most resistant, you know, the most resistant people, because they're resistant to change because they've done things a certain way for so many years and they believe that it works. And, you know, it might have worked well 20 years ago, but, you know, the pace of change is quicker. So it's really important when we're working on projects to be able to understand from a stakeholder perspective early in a transformation, hey, what are those things that you actually care about? What do you want? What do you need? What's important for you to get on board? What's causing you anxiety about this project? And one of the things we do is we use AI technology so we can turn the data around quickly without that fear of having data that's stale. And part of what we also see is from a change management perspective, there's often an idea that change management is expensive. And it's, hey, I'm already spending this huge number on the technology. Why do I need to spend so much on change when, say, maybe my HR team can do it? Well, part of what we know as well is if we actually use data effectively in change, we don't have to have as many change management resources and we don't have to spend as much time, because the things that we're putting in place are exactly what end users are asking for. So one of the things that we recently did, and it was actually from a manufacturing organization, they were going through a big transformation. They hadn't updated their systems for 20 plus years, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some of them were old green screens. So there was a big change impact to people across the organization, and a big fear that, hey, I've been filling in information on the same green screen for 20 years. I don't know that I'm going to be able to, you know, I'm not, I don't know that I'm going to have the capabilities to actually use a cloud-based ERP system. And, you know, part of what we did at the start of this project was we were able to understand the sentiment and the fear and what each stakeholder wanted and needed and what was important to them. And we use that in order to update change management plans, sponsorship engagement plans, training and communication plans. So we were able to update these plans. And then over the course of the transformation, we were able to go back and reach out to those stakeholders again and then be able to say, hey, what do you need now? And we were able to say clearly whether certain tactics that we were putting in or certain communications we were putting in were working. And if they weren't, we were able to change course and we were able pivot a little bit. So what we were able to do was keep those stakeholders engaged, keep them involved, keep them part of the process, keep them updated, and actually listen to their concerns and address their concerns over the course of the project. And we were able to feed that back to the project management team to make sure that they also understood what were the wishes, what were the concerns, what were the fears. And one of the things that it really did was it helped to keep the entire project team and leadership and the sponsorship steering committee on track and on focus. And we were able to bring that project in as planned. And when we launched, it was actually a non-event. It was a letdown for the project team because people knew exactly, they knew exactly what they needed to do the day of, and I'll use the analogy, the day of the move, exactly what they needed to do, where they could get help. Also, what were the things that they weren't responsible for anymore? So it was really, really, it was really key. And it was so great to be able to turn this information around and update plans on a regular basis.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Tim. That's it for today. Do you have any last minute closing thoughts or advice?
For me, it really is important that when you're going to launch a big transformation, that as a leader, you really understand what your vision is and you think about how you're going to bring that vision to life. You know, that's an essential element. And for me, it's really crucial. And the other part, which we've talked about today, is just don't outsource your role as a leader. This is your business. This is your accountability. If the project is to fail, don't have it, you know, it's not okay. It's not okay to fail because, oh, you know what? I brought in the best and, you know, it didn't succeed. That's not a recipe for success. The recipe for success is saying, hey, you know what? We're going to put in some plans. I'm going to lead as a sponsor and we're going to be successful with this project. And you know what? With great change management support, it's doable.
Yeah. And my personal takeaway from this conversation is going to be, as a sponsor, it is going to be really your responsibility to ensure that you truly and meaningfully understand the nuances that are going to be required in taking this project from point A to point B. So make sure that you have all of your steps identified when you are planning for that move. On that note, Tim, I really want to thank you for your time. This has been an insightful episode.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was great to be here.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Tim, head over to prompta.ca. It's prompta.ca. He can help you with change management support that increases engagement, readiness, and technology adoption. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Amanda Prochaska, who discusses how to prepare for change with large transformation projects and why a continuous monitoring of emotional response is absolutely critical for the success of such projects. Also, the interview with Laura Goodrich, who discusses how and where to begin the journey of change, especially if you have been facing resistance from your team. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.